Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news right now in downtown Raleigh. You're looking live where a gas leak had parts of downtown shut down for hours. We have the latest on where it's happening and how you can get around it.
Plus, developing at noon, a military helicopter crashes in Kentucky, killing 9 service members. The new details the Pentagon is now releasing about the heartbreaking Black Hawk crash.
And Saturday is the WRAL Weather Alert Day due to the risk for strong winds as well as thunderstorms and rain. I'll have the timing of it all coming up.
And good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We're tracking a number of breaking stories this noon, starting with shots fired at a community college in the Triad.
Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with the details. Michelle.
Yeah, we're following this breaking news at Forsyth Technical Community College. Police were there after the school said they reported shots fired on campus. We can confirm just within the last 5 minutes, Winston-Salem police took to Twitter saying there is no active shooter on the campus. There is still an active investigation, though there are no other threats to any other schools in the area. Anyone with any information should call 911, but police are still on the scene there. Let me just tell you what happened. I'll walk you through it. A text was sent out about 10:15 this morning about a report of shots fired in the campus bookstore. They urged the community to shelter in place. 15 minutes later, they said two armed and dangerous men were wearing gray and black hoodies and they were at large. A third text at 11 a.m. said the situation was active. But again, we have just learned there is no active shooter on the campus. WRAL Sarah Kruger is headed to the scene now. She'll have more for us coming up at 12:30.
Michelle, thanks. A gas leak that shut down major roads in downtown Raleigh has been repaired.
Yeah, we told you about this leak in our 9 a.m. news shortly after it happened. This section of downtown is still feeling the effects of all this now at noon. And WRAL's Joe Fisher is on the scene with an update. Joe.
Jeff and Renee, the gas leak has been fixed, but this was a pretty scary 3 hours for people in downtown Raleigh. We are standing just feet away from the exact spot where that gas leak was found right around 7 o'clock, 7:45 this morning. Right now, you're looking at crews live working to patch up the pavement here on Harget Street, which remains closed from Salisbury to Fayetteville Street. And this is right outside of the Wells Fargo building downtown. This is one of 5 buildings that were evacuated this morning as a precaution. Let's show you video from WRAL Sky 5 up over the scene of this gas leak. Like I mentioned, first reported at 7:45 this morning. On the ground, crews were ripping up this road to get to the source of that leak. Dominion Energy says initially there were reports of a gas odor that led them to this location. We got a chance to speak with a woman who works on the 28th floor of the Wells Fargo building. She says they were told to evacuate immediately. She says more than 100 people from multiple buildings were down on the road. Police moved them to Nash Square a couple of blocks away as crews worked to find this gas leak.
I was kind of nervous because I didn't know what was going on. We got on the elevators. Everybody from every floor was getting on and evacuating the building. We started in the front of the building and then we got a call to walk to the park. It was kind of scary, though, because I'm like, what's going on? I honestly don't really want to go back inside because I don't believe it got solved that fast, but we'll see.
And those evacuation orders were lifted just before 11 o'clock. People able to go back inside the building. You're looking here along Harget Street. There are 2 businesses directly impacted by this closure. You're seeing people walking alongside the road. Things are back to normal, but this road closure still remains. We're learning from crews here on the scene that this road here could be closed until after 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to keep our eye on that. We're also working to get some more information from Dominion Energy about exactly what happened here as far as the leak this morning. Back to you.
Resolved at least to one level. Joe Fisher live in downtown Raleigh. Thanks, Joe.
We're also watching the weather. A WRAL Weather Alert Day has been issued for Saturday. Let's get right to meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the latest information on what to expect.
And we issued the WRAL weather alert day for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons and the most widespread threat is going to be the strong winds that are likely to last all day long. We anticipate a wind advisory will be issued, and we wanted to give you an early heads up on that. The other issue is going to be the rain and thunderstorms. A lot going on this weekend, including the Dreamville Festival in Raleigh, and rain could impact that festival. It's likely to be pretty muddy out there. As for the severe weather threat, it is in the southeastern part of our viewing area and the southeast part of the state. Damaging wind gusts, some small hail, and heavy rain will be possible as a line of showers and thunderstorms moves through Saturday. 6 a.m. for the early morning risers, the rain's still to our west, but it begins to push into the western part of our viewing area and the sand hills by about 8 a.m., arriving in the triangle after that about 10 a.m. By lunchtime, most of those showers and storms are in the eastern part of our area. We could still see some showers around Raleigh at noon when the Dreamville Festival kicks off, but during the afternoon, the rain should clear out of the triangle by 2 o'clock, and most areas should be dry by 4. I'll have a closer look at the town-by-town wind gust forecast coming up in just a few minutes.
Kat, thanks. The Pentagon now reports 9 service members died when 2 Black Hawk helicopters crashed overnight.
Just before we came on the air, we learned one of the soldiers has North Carolina ties. Pastor Tim Gore of Fremont Missionary Baptist Church in Wayne County says his son Caleb died in that crash. WRL's Ken Smith is tracking new developments about what else we have learned about this tragedy. Ken.
Jeff and Renee, we should also point out that no Fort Bragg soldiers were involved in this mission. Of course, we're all living this military community. We're all feeling this pain, this noon hour. These soldiers were members of the 101st Airborne Division based at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, all part of the 18th Airborne Corps, similar to Fort Bragg soldiers. This was the scene overnight when the Pentagon says 2 Black Hawk helicopters crashed in a wooded area in Clarksville. The soldiers were on a training mission when the choppers went down around 10 o'clock last night. Now, the deputy commander at Fort Campbell says these soldiers were flying in what's called a multi-ship formation, meaning 2 helicopters flying under night vision goggles. That's the extent of the information Fort Campbell officials are releasing so far this noon hour, pending a full investigation. Now, during a news conference within the last couple of hours, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear honored the memory of those soldiers.
The 9 individuals we lost are children of God. They will be mourned and missed by their families, by their communities. We are blessed to live in the freest country in the history of planet Earth. But we must remember that that freedom relies on those who are willing to serve, some of which pay the ultimate price.
Well, we mentioned one of the soldiers has North Carolina ties. He is the son of Pastor Tim Gore of Fremont Missionary Baptist Church in Wayne County. Pastor Gore posted this message this morning saying, "My precious son Caleb was killed in a tragic helicopter accident last night. He was the light of my world." At this point, Fort Campbell is not releasing the names of any of the service members until family members are fully notified. As for the investigation, an aircraft safety team from Fort Walker, Alabama, is on its way to Kentucky to begin the investigation into what caused those choppers to go down.
Jeff? Certainly. Our thoughts are with them. Ken, thanks.
We're staying on top of a developing story in Minnesota, where investigators are trying to figure out what caused a train carrying ethanol to derail and catch fire. We first brought you this as breaking news in the WRAL Live Center, and this is new video showing the aftermath. It happened in the small town of Raymond. That's about 2 hours west of Minneapolis. Officials say the BNSF railway train crashed around 2 this morning Eastern time, forcing hundreds of residents to evacuate. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Developing right now, for the first time since the Cold War, a U.S. journalist has been arrested and detained in Russia, accused of spying. NBC's Kelly Kobiea walks us through what led to the reporter being captured and what's expected to happen next.
A court in Moscow confirmed the arrest of American journalist Evan Gershkovich today and ordered him held in pretrial detention for nearly 2 months until May 29th. Gershkovich, who works for the Wall Street Journal, pled not guilty in the closed-door hearing, according to Russian state media. State media also said his lawyer was not allowed inside for the hearing, and the case has been marked top secret. The Russian Security Services says Gershkovich was arrested in Yekaterinburg, that's a city about 900 miles east of Moscow, and is accused of stealing military secrets for the United States, the Kremlin adding that he was caught red-handed. The Wall Street Journal said it vehemently denies the allegations from the FSB and seeks the immediate release of our trusted and dedicated reporter, Evan Gershkovich. We stand in solidarity with Evan and his family. Gershkovich is an American citizen from New Jersey. His parents fled the Soviet Union in the 1980s. He's been working in the region for several years and speaks fluent Russian. Gershkovich likely faces a long trial, almost certain conviction, and a sentence of up to 20 years. He's the first American journalist to be arrested for spying in Russia since before the collapse of the Soviet Union. We reached out to the White House for comment on this story. They say they're in touch with the Wall Street Journal. Kelly Kobiaya, NBC News, London.
The future of legalized sports betting in North Carolina now goes to the state Senate. A second day of lengthy debate on the House floor yesterday produced the same outcome. Representatives passed a bill to allow betting on professional and collegiate sports from cell phones and other electronic devices. The Senate passed a similar bill in 2021. If this bill becomes law, you could begin betting on sports on your phone in January. NASA is studying one of the most powerful classes of explosions in the universe. What we are learning about the historic blast. Plus, Pope Francis' health is improving after spending the night in the hospital. Coming up, we have the latest from the Vatican as people around the world send prayers and well wishes.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center. We are following some breaking news out of Texas this afternoon. A federal judge there says insurers no longer have to provide some preventative care services, meaning some Affordable Care Act mandates cannot be enforced. We're talking things like cancer screenings, heart screenings. Right now, some of these services come at no cost to a patient. Legal experts say that this judge's ruling puts in jeopardy the access that some people have to a whole host of preventative treatments. Now, it is likely that this will be appealed. The Justice Department does have the option to ask that the judge's ruling be put on pause while that appeal is litigated.
Michelle, thanks. Looking ahead to tomorrow, the president and first lady will get a close look at damage in Mississippi after a tornado ripped through the area, killing at least 25 people. The White House says they will be in Rolling Fork. That's where the storm battered the area last weekend. Biden declared it a major disaster. Meanwhile, Mississippi is bracing for more severe weather this weekend.
An update this noon on the condition of Pope Francis. The Vatican says he has progressively improved after a night in the hospital.
And here's a live look at the Vatican right now. The Pope is fighting a respiratory infection that the Vatican says is not COVID. CNN's Vatican correspondent Delia Gallagher is outside his hospital with the latest.
The latest update from the Vatican is that Pope Francis slept well overnight. They say his clinical picture is progressively improving. They say the planned treatments are continuing. They also said that before breakfast, he read some newspapers and he was able to get straight back to work from the hospital. They said he was visiting the chapel in his papal apartments up here and was able to receive communion. We call them papal apartments, but those are those five windows there with the blinds pulled down. That's where popes stay when they come here to Rome's Gemelli Hospital. The Pope has been here since Wednesday afternoon. The Vatican says that he had been complaining about respiratory difficulties for the past few days. He came yesterday afternoon and was diagnosed with a respiratory infection, which the Vatican says will require a few days stay here in the hospital. Of course, Pope Francis is 86 years old, and when he was 21, he had part of a lung removed for a respiratory illness. So that's obviously an important element at this moment as well for doctors. We will keep you posted on further updates from the Vatican as we get them. Delia Gallagher, Rome.
That's an encouraging sign that he resumed work today. Also today, Pope Francis took a moment to say thank you for all the well wishes and prayers. In a tweet this morning, he said, "I am touched by the many messages received in these hours, and I express my gratitude for the closeness and prayer."
NASA is studying one of the most powerful classes of explosions in the universe. The space agency says it clocked a gamma ray burst back in October of last year that was unlike any other. Scientists say the pulse of intense radiation was so exceptional, it blinded most of the gamma ray instruments in space. They believe a gamma ray blast like this one is so rare, it only happens once every 10,000 years.
While we're talking about space, there's another round of satellites heading into orbit right now.
Three, two, 1-0, liftoff.
That's the moment a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket took off from Cape Canaveral yesterday afternoon. It's carrying 56 Starlink satellites that will provide internet to communities around the world. The satellites will take several weeks before becoming operational.
I want to give a quick shout out to the students in AP Government at Apex Friendship High School this morning. They had me over for a nice discussion about all kinds of media and newscast related topics. Great questions from these young minds. Great leadership from Mr. Hagermoser and Mr. Sanders there. So I want to thank you for your attention. They were great, and have a great and safe spring break, all of Wake County Public Schools. It's been a long time since I was in an AP class of any kind. I really never got invited to them in high school when I was there. So it was really nice to be there.
But a great speaker as well. Great weather that we're seeing out there right now as we take a live look at Dix Park in downtown Raleigh. Just sunshine, blue skies, but things are going to change quickly by the time we get to Saturday, Kat.
I know, a lot of questions on Dreamville. In fact, since I walked over here to do weather, I've gotten text messages from friends asking me when the rain is going to end on Saturday for Dreamville. Right now, I think most of it would be over in that 2 to 3 o'clock time frame, which is good news since it starts at noon. I will say this, though, a live picture at Dix Park, you can see some puddles out there right now. We have already received over an inch of rain at Dix Park this week. So a reminder, it's going to be muddy. Even if it's not raining when you get there Saturday, you will want to be prepared. Make sure that you're wearing some boots, rain boots, combat boots, whatever you can wipe down easily after the event. 81 degrees, temperature's not an issue out there Saturday. We do have the potential for rain, perhaps an isolated rumble of thunder. I would not expect thunder to be a big threat, though, around the triangle. It's really going to be closer to our southern counties, but it can't be ruled out. One of the biggest issues that will last into the afternoon and evening at Dreamville is going to be the wind. Winds could gust up to about 45, perhaps 50 miles per hour, so any vendor tents could be in jeopardy out there. Sunday looks great. The winds start to die down, 68 degrees, plenty of sunshine. Overall, the festival doesn't look too bad. The rain clears out early Saturday. It'll be dry by the headliners. Just be aware of this wind. Our maximum wind gust throughout the day tomorrow could get into that 30 to 35 mile per hour range. So it's already going to be breezy tomorrow. But Saturday, the winds are just going to be whipping out there. We're talking winds gusting up to 45 miles per hour. Perhaps we could see a few isolated gusts up to about 50 miles per hour. And that's going to be one of the biggest concerns. Friday morning at 8 a.m., we start out dry tomorrow. I will say I think this model has a little bit too much rain during the afternoon and evening tomorrow. We're going with about a 20% chance. So check in for an update. We should have some new model data that comes out by 4 o'clock here on WRAL. But it does show a few spotty showers around dinner time tomorrow evening. Those clear out for the most part overnight. And then we are looking at rain already by Saturday morning in the western part of our viewing area. But notice the bulk of this rain, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., we still have rain around the area through about lunchtime, and it's showing some rain still in the triangle at lunchtime. But after that, the rain should quickly clear out, and I think that we would be pretty good to go in terms of no more rain around Raleigh for the Dreamville Festival by about 3 o'clock. And that is still being conservative. It may be even earlier than that. Still some showers in our eastern counties after that. But for the evening, for those headliners, the weather looks great Saturday night, just windy. Today, it is gorgeous outside. 68 in the Triangle, our high. 68 in Wilson, 64 degrees in South Hill, and 63 in Roanoke Rapids. We could get up to 70 in Irwin today. It's going to be pretty warm out there. As for grilling out this evening, if you want to do dinner outside, 65 degrees, plenty of sunshine at 6 o'clock. It looks like a good time to get the grill going this evening. The Durham Bulls home opener tomorrow. The weather looks pretty good for that event. Will be a bit breezy out there. Saturday, Sunday, we've got the big Dreamville Festival. We're going to keep Saturday a WRAL weather alert day, especially since we expect a wind advisory to be issued. This just allows us to give you an early heads up to start planning ahead for some rain and wind. Renee and Jeff.
All right, Kat, thank you. And you heard Kat talk about how Saturday showers and storms will impact the Dreamville Festival in Raleigh. A live look at Dix Park once again, where tens of thousands plan to enjoy this music festival. Coming up on our news at 4 o'clock, what people need to know before heading to the event.
Then at 6, WRAL Investigates asks the question, is North Carolina's active shooter training in schools outdated? Why one expert says yes, and he has the data to back it up. And still ahead this noon, the WRL Gardens starting to bloom, which means summer heat isn't too far away. So air conditioner weather still ahead. Federal rules that'll make new AC units more energy efficient.
And Amazon has a new alert that could help you decide what to buy, what it is, and how to see it when we come back. Higher egg prices sent profits soaring at the country's largest egg producer. And Amazon is flagging frequently returned items. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Amazon has started warning shoppers about items that are frequently returned. On some items, a badge with the words frequently returned item appears. Shoppers are urged to check the product details and to take a look at the reviews. Amazon evaluates return rates to see which products to flag, and products from third-party sellers, as well as ones sold by Amazon, can be hit with the frequently returned label. That tight supply of eggs sent profits soaring at the nation's largest egg producer last quarter. Cal-Maine Foods posted a 718% gain in profit for the quarter as revenue doubled. The huge increases came as the company's selling price for a dozen eggs jumped to $3.30, up from $1.61 a year earlier. Cal-Maine's profits topped $323 million for the quarter a year earlier. Profits totaled $39.5 million. An outbreak of the avian flu battered egg farmers last year and sent egg prices climbing, but Cal-Maine says it hasn't had any positive tests at its facilities. Looking for a cheaper breakfast option? Try ramen. The budget-friendly food company's Cup Noodles has a new breakfast version of their instant ramen. It blends the flavors of sausage, maple syrup pancakes, and eggs in a saucy mix. Cup Noodles breakfast is quick to cook. It takes just 4 minutes in the microwave, and it's affordable. It sells for just $1.39. You can find it at Walmart and on the retailer's website. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
The Biden administration is adding air conditioners to the list of appliances they want to see go green. New regulations will take effect in 2026. The administration says the move will cut American electric bills by $1.5 million. It'll also cut emissions and reduce the load on the power grid at high use times. This is the latest in a list of more than 100 new actions designed to make appliances more energy efficient.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have a joint statement from the Rocky Mount Police Department as well as Rocky Mount Prep over threats that were made toward Rocky Mount Prep yesterday. They say last night the Rocky Mount Police Department was made aware of a potential threat at Rocky Mount Prep. The police department promptly informed officials about the situation. As a precaution, Rocky Mount police officers have provided a strong presence at the school and at bus stops today. Again, just as a precaution there. But the superintendent of Rocky Mount Prep said the safety of our campus is a top priority, and we are taking every measure to ensure the safety of our scholars in our community.
Michelle, thanks. Two high schools in Lee County brought in extra security measures today after a series of recent threats. WREL's Nye Harden walks us through their extra steps coming up.
And downtown Raleigh is still feeling the effects of the gas leak from this morning. An update on the traffic situation now when we come back.
First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers from last night.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Thanks for staying with us this noon. This morning, all students, staff, and visitors at two Lee County schools passed through metal detectors. It's in response to several threats made to the schools. WRL's Nia Harden has more information.
This morning, things did not look normal for students and staff, and I want to show you what I'm talking about. You can see from this video, there is a line going out of the building, and that's because all students and staff had to go through metal detectors. They were even warned that their bags could be checked as well as their backpacks just because they are trying to make sure to keep everyone safe. This is not only happening here at Lee County High School, but also Southern Lee High School. The two schools have dealt with threats that were made against the schools just yesterday. Lee County High School receiving a threat, as well as Southern Lee High School receiving a bomb threat that was found to be not credible. The recommendation to close yesterday came from the sheriff's office, and schools in nearby counties have installed weapons detection systems. Wake County school leaders say it's not off the table. For now, we know that the metal detectors will be in use for today and tomorrow, but what happens after that, we'll have to wait and see. Nye Harden, WREL News in Lee County.
Another breaking story unfolding. Reports of shots fired on a community college campus in Winston-Salem. Within the last 30 minutes, police said there was no active shooter situation.
This is in Forsyth County, about 2 hours west of the Triangle on I-40. And WRL Sarah Kruger just got on that scene and joins us live now. Sarah, what have you learned so far?
Jeff, students got their latest text about 20 minutes ago telling them there is no active shooter at this point, but they still need to shelter in place. This is as close as we are able to get to the school, which is just up there behind me up that hill. I want to spin the camera around and show you where we are now. We are in a parking lot, a staging area surrounded by parents and family members who are eagerly and nervously awaiting the reuniting with their kids. Let's get to some ground video now. We have of the situation closer to the school. Around 10:15 this morning is when students were notified by text that there were shots fired at the Strickland Center on campus. That's a hub of student activity with a bookstore and classrooms and study areas. A follow-up text said there were two armed and dangerous men that police were looking for. I spoke with a mom of a 17-year-old high school student who attends classes here at Forsyth Tech Community College. She described the heart-wrenching exchange of text messages after her daughter ran to hide and locked herself inside an office.
I told her, I know it's scary, just to make sure the door was locked. She said she moved rooms and it's locked and that she's in the office with a lady. And that was the last I heard at 11:20.
Were you crying as you sent her these texts?
I cried all the way over here. I live in Kernersville, so it was a little bit of a drive.
And it is just so hard to hear, and I have since talked with more parents out here, some of them in tears, understandably, over this heartbreaking, awful situation unfolding in their home community. Now, this parking lot is the media staging area. We are told that we will be getting some updates from police. Of course, when we learn anything new, we will bring that to you all. Jeff and Renee.
Yeah, too often we have seen and heard those tears lately. Sarah Kruger live in Winston-Salem this noon. Sarah, thank you.
There's a new push to lower the blood alcohol content to drive legally in North Carolina. This morning, state lawmakers discussed a new bill to lower the legal limit to 0.05. Right now, that limit is 0.08. The goal of the bill is to reduce drunk driving by making the threshold for impairment lower. More nurses could soon be eligible to work in public schools. The North Carolina House is set to vote today on a bill to end a series of strict requirements like needing national certification. Nurses would still need to work 2 years in a hospital or clinic before they can be hired at a school. The state is trying to nearly double the amount of nurses in schools. Supporters of this bill think it will help reach that goal.
North Carolina health officials are trying to reduce the spread of tick and mosquito illnesses as temperatures heat up. That's why North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is urging everyone to fight the bite. Campaign returns in April as part of Tick and Mosquito Awareness Month. These bugs can spread West Nile virus, Lyme disease, and more. Officials say using insect repellent and wearing protective clothing can cut down on bug bites. Reducing your exposure to wooded and grassy areas can also help.
In 48 hours, the music will start in Dix Park for the Dreamville Music Festival.
And for the first time, the festival is offering an official way to buy and sell tickets. WRL's Destiny Patterson walks us through that process.
If you're still hoping to get inside the gates of the Dreamville Festival, but you haven't gotten tickets yet, then you are in luck. That's because they've launched an official ticket exchange for the first time ever. You can select your level, and it also has guaranteed delivery before the event.
Under any given post, you'll find several comments offering up tickets to North Carolina native J. Cole's Dreamville Festival. But as scammers have gotten more advanced, it's hard to tell which accounts are real. Kennedy Henderson just wanted to enjoy the growing Dreamville Festival for the first time. Like many, she was looking to get tickets after the festival sold out online within days.
I really want to see J. Cole and Drake and Usher and Ari Lennox.
But instead, she was scammed out of $200 earlier this month after trying to buy a ticket through a Facebook group.
There's one guy who had direct messaged me, and he seemed pretty legit. The deal that we had was that I would put down like a $100 deposit for me to like secure, like I'm gaining this ticket. And then once he sent me the shipping tracking information, then I would send the rest.
And that is what happened, except she never received the wristband and knew something was off when she tried tracking the package.
And it was a fake tracking info. Then I went back to message him saying, hey, there's something wrong with tracking information, and he had blocked me.
So to this point, you still have not gotten your money back?
No, I still haven't gotten any money back.
Despite that, she still has hope that Dreamville will be a reality for her now that there is an official means of buying a ticket to the sold-out festival.
The festival says that it cannot verify the validity of any tickets that you buy from a third-party site, so they say that this is the best way to ensure that you're getting a real ticket and they can help you if needed. Destiny Patterson, WREL News, Raleigh.
And the first day of the festival will be a WREL weather alert day for some of our viewing area. Kat tells us who is in the threat zone and what it means for the day at Dreamville coming up.
And some of the biggest names in tech are asking the question, is artificial intelligence getting out of control? Also coming up, what they suggest we do about it. Artificial intelligence is everywhere these days, and now some of the biggest names in tech want the industry to slow down its development.
Doug Luzader explains a warning that suggests the tech world is about to get ahead of itself.
What's happening on this screen has been a staggering advance toward artificial intelligence. ChatGPT has caught fire in the tech world, allowing for almost human-level conversations with a computer. But while AI can clearly have benefits, used in this system, for example, to identify guns in schools, there are some potential drawbacks.
We're not terribly worried about robots coming and killing us all, but we are worried about AI systems that have certain goals that they will pursue without any limits.
Mark Brackel wrote a warning, endorsed by the likes of Elon Musk, Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, and more than 1,000 others, calling out what they see as an out-of-control race to develop and deploy ever more powerful digital minds that no one, not even their creators, can understand, predict, or reliably control.
AI systems may be trained with certain goals, those goals will be pursued at all costs.
What are we trying to prevent? What are we afraid of?
California Congressman Jay Obernolte, who's also a computer engineer with a graduate degree in AI, says the government needs to tread carefully here.
We need to make sure that we make wise decisions about how to regulate so that we stimulate the growth of this incredible industry without stifling it, and at the same time implement the protections that are necessary to protect Americans' data from this new technology.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wayne, Wilson, and Chatham counties this hour. Wayne County School Superintendent David Lewis is retiring tomorrow. Before he became a superintendent in January 2021, he held a number of positions in public education for more than 30 years. The school board is currently searching for a new superintendent. Michael Pretty is serving as interim superintendent right now.
Sections of several streets in historic downtown Wilson are closed today through Sunday. That's because crews are working on the Farmer's Warehouse building on Goldsboro Street. The owners of the building will complete needed maintenance during that time, including removing the wall facing Goldsboro Street. Parts of Goldsboro, Keenan, and Mercer Streets are closed.
The Friends of the Chatham Community Library Spring Book Sale is underway in Pittsboro. The event runs through tomorrow. The sale includes thousands of books, CDs, DVDs, and audiobooks. It also includes large collections of genealogy, vinyl, art, and gardening. For more information about the sale, call the library.
Grab your jersey, some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, and head to the diamond. Baseball is back today. We have a look at all the action surrounding Major League Baseball's opening day.
And here's a live look at the Durham Bowl Stadium from our WREL Live Cam Network. Looks beautiful. As the new season kicks off, so does some new food. We're showing you some of the menu items that you can get at the DBAP. It's opening day for Major League Baseball.
In just a few hours, the seats at Globe Life Field, you see right here in Arlington, Texas, will be filled with fans. All 30 Major League Baseball teams will be in action today for opening day. So that means 15 big league games to watch today, with games that start at noon and reach into the evening on the West Coast. Here in the Triangle, the Durham Bulls will get started tomorrow night, opening night. hosting Norfolk at the DBAP. Before they get the season started, big news for minor league players. Last night, the Major League Baseball Players Association and MLB reached a 5-year labor contract deal for minor leaguers. So that means a significant raise for minor league players. Pay will at least double at every level. What's better than watching baseball and enjoying some stadium food, right?
Few things are. When you go to the DBAP this year, you'll have more options at the concession stands. WRAL's Pat Welter takes us through the appetizing menu.
Now, of course, you come to a ball game to watch the Bulls, but let's be honest, you also come to eat. And you're in luck. My sources here at Durham Bulls Athletic Park tell me there's an added emphasis on quality this season. A Greek philosopher once asked, where's the beef? Well, it's in the hot dog. The Bulls going with 100% all beef dogs this year. The pretzels are Bavarian, and the wings are the only way I eat them, bone in. Plus, if you're feeling adventurous, try the Twister Fry of the Month.
So this first month of baseball that we'll have is Copa night, and we decided to do a Twister Fry with chorizo sausage and some queso and some peppers on it.
Okay, who's hungry? If you want to try some of that food, join me here opening night. Pat Welter, WRAL Sports.
You said it earlier, team food.
Yeah, I'm officially hungry now, yeah. But what a great experience for the people who go to the DBAP, not just for the baseball, but for the food options.
Forecast is getting better and better, too, for opening night.
Good.
We love hearing that. Kat Campbell, the WRAL Severe Weather Center, the beautiful stadium behind you.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be out there tomorrow early in the day doing some work, talking about the forecast, and then I'm going to be enjoying the game out there tomorrow night. It should be a beautiful day overall, at least temperature-wise. We're not going to have this clear blue sky like what we have out there today, but the field here, it is looking good for opening day tomorrow. Temperatures are likely to be in the low to mid 70s as we kick off the fun. It starts at 6:35 p.m. First pitch, mostly cloudy, 73, about a 20% chance for rain tomorrow night. I think, you know, if we see a quick shower, it would blow through pretty quickly. So Willie Bull gives his approval stamp over there on this forecast for tomorrow night. Looking forward to the food as well. If you want to grill out tonight, if you've got food on your mind after hearing Pat's story there, should be a great evening to do so. Temperatures are warming up into the upper 60s this afternoon, right around our normal high of 67. But by tomorrow, 76 the high, even up to 81 on Saturday. A little dip in temperatures on Sunday, kind of close to where we are today. And then temperatures next week are going to be right back up in the 80s. Next week is spring break for Wake County schools. If you are traveling for spring break, here is the big picture map at next week's temperature outlook. Below normal temperatures likely for the western half of the U.S. So maybe if you're a big fan of spring break skiing, that's good news for you out west. But if you are staying close to the East Coast, maybe heading to some beaches, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, coasts are likely to see above normal temperatures for spring break. Looking ahead, though, we've got to get through this storm system first. Unfortunately, could lead to some travel delays if you're planning on traveling tomorrow or Saturday from the East Coast. This is going to turn into a pretty potent storm system by tomorrow. There's a level 4 out of 5 threat for severe weather for portions of the Midwest, also the plains, even parts of Mississippi, just a small part, but unfortunately, that same area right around Mississippi and Arkansas, where they've been seeing severe weather week after week, under another threat again tomorrow. Damaging wind gusts, hail, as well as a tornado threat. Tornado threat, unfortunately, one of the big ones. And for us on Saturday, we're not going to see quite as strong of a system. The winds are going to be a big issue, even when it is not raining. It's just going to be a windy day in general. But in a few thunderstorms in the eastern part of our state under this level 1 risk, we could see some winds gusting to about 60 miles per hour in those storms. For Dreamville, it's mainly going to be rain, and it would be early in the day. It kicks off at noon, 73 at that time, about a 50% chance for rain. But I think by 3 o'clock, most areas will be dry in the triangle. The winds are going to be gusting 35 to 45 miles per hour. So maybe opt for a ponytail and make sure you're not wearing your best shoes. It's going to be pretty muddy after the rain earlier this week at Dix Park. 76 degrees tomorrow, looking pretty good. Temperatures on Saturday up to 81, and a WREL weather alert day declared for Saturday due to the threat not only for rain out there at Dreamville, but the winds. Everyone likely to be impacted by those winds, and it'll be pretty gusty all day long. Renee and Jeff.
A lot going on there, Kat. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. A statue has to get to its destination somehow. Mm-hmm. This one was spotted rolling down an interstate. The story behind this strange sight, still ahead at noon.
And here's a look at last night's winning Powerball numbers. The next jackpot, $147 million. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the man accused of hitting and killing an 11-year-old little girl at the Raleigh Christmas Parade has just been released from jail. Landon Glass just released just after noon. He is on electronic monitoring. He was being held on a $250,000 bond for involuntary manslaughter for the crash that killed Haley Brooks at the Raleigh Christmas Parade. Glass is not allowed to drive in the state of North Carolina without a valid vehicle inspection. Again, he has been released from jail and is now on electronic monitoring.
Thanks, Michelle. As we wrap up, a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Police in Winston-Salem now say there is not an active shooter at Forsyth Technical Community College. The campus had previously alerted students and staff and faculty of shots fired at the school. The community was told to shelter in place while officers searched for two suspects.
The Pentagon now reports 9 service members died when 2 Black Hawk helicopters crashed overnight. Just before we came on the air, we learned one of the soldiers has North Carolina ties. Pastor Tim Gore of Fremont Missionary Baptist Church in Wayne County says his son Caleb died in that crash. The soldiers were on a training mission when the choppers went down around 10 last night.
A gas leak that shut down major roads in downtown Raleigh has been repaired. Hargett Street remains closed, though, from Salisbury Street to Fayetteville. The Raleigh Fire Department says gas readings have returned to an acceptable rate now. We're still working to learn from Dominion Energy when the gas will be turned back on. This road is expected to be shut down until 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Pop-Tarts are taking a step into the fashion world to celebrate the launch of its new flavor. Check this out, the Pop-Tartigan. Each limited edition cardigan is hand crocheted, made of granny squares that are designed to look like the frosted banana bread Pop-Tarts. The sweaters have been a hit on TikTok. The first batch sold out within hours. Another batch will be available tomorrow.
A monument to one of the best known horses of all time is on its way to its final destination. This monument has to get there first, and 3,500 pounds of it spotted on an Oklahoma highway yesterday as it left the foundry where it was created. At 11 and a half feet tall, 21 feet long, it's the largest statue of the horse in existence. Virginia is the first stop on a multi-state tour celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Triple Crown win of Secretariat.
A big cat rescue in Florida, made famous by its owner, is closing. Carol Baskin's Big Cat Rescue Sanctuary merged with another wildlife rescue in Arkansas. The cats will move there and the land will be sold. The facility has been a refuge for exotic cats that have been abandoned, abused, or retired from performing acts.
It's time for our pet of the day right now. Jolene is a 21-year-old Siamese cat who was rescued from a hoarding situation along with 22 other pets. Jolene is a delightful, youthful girl who loves going out for walks and on the cat leash as well, enjoying the sunshine. Jolene is affectionate, spirited, easy to love. She's in great health for her age. Since Jolene has never known what it's like to be loved and well cared for, SPCA is looking for a family who will spoil her and show her what being a family member is really all about. $45 for adoption fee, and you can get more information at spcawake.org.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.